The enemy is not as powerful as God. We just don't seem to get that in our heads, do we? We actually give the power to the enemy to beat us up and beat us up with his little pellets. Amen? We listen to the gossip, we listen to the lies, and it's just little bullets. But God says, if you trust me and you pull out the big guns, the enemy runs like crazy. Our bullet is the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? At the beginning of the conference, or maybe last night, I shared with you, but there was a lot of trials that I was actually coming out of. I had that resurrection power and healing that raised me up, and I'm still walking through that healing. I mean, I'm just getting better and better. I mean, when Evelyn, they came and told me Evelyn fell, I'll tell you what, I raced across that field over there like I was a racehorse. Listen, I've been running across that field ever since I got here, and I couldn't even run a month ago. Amen? I could not run. I had to be careful holding on to the steps, going up the steps in my house, the steps going up to my bedroom, exactly 12. I count them. When I'm going to get exercise when I'm well, I do running up and down my stairs. Henry says, you ever want to get just a one-level house? I said, no, that's my exercise. That and going to the freezer and going out to my car. Don't take my exercise away from me. But my point is, he healed me. Amen? No matter what the tweaks are, no matter what the familiar is, I'm walking in my healing. I'm just amazed. I mean, I am sleeping all night. All those medicines I was on, I was awake every 2 hours. I mean, I'm telling you, it's just absolutely a transformation. And it's not just for me. I got a box here, and I'm going to have some people go around, and I want them to give you a key. I want to give you a key because this weekend has been a key for you. And that key may represent everything that everyone said here. It may be one thing, but it's going to be a memory. Because God gave us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And I don't want you ever to forget that. So whoever, you want to have people help you pass that out? I want to go over here to John 14:46. I have come as light into the world so that whoever believes in me will not stay in darkness. We cannot live in darkness. We won't survive. And there are seasons in our life where it's just like this. It's a long haul, and you're trying to get to the light. When God began to change my life and give me those five scriptures I shared last night, when he began to start walking me toward my wellness, he said, come out of the shadows. Come into the light. He is the light. And his light will shine through you if you let him. Amen? This picture back here represents the team. When I say team, it's the body of Christ that comes in agreement. We're 2015's army. You are the first recruits for 2015. Amen? And what does it say? As for God, his way is perfect. Amen? There's no other way. It's Yahweh. Amen? And we need to you know, it's like I opened up at the beginning of this conference saying, you know, the military soldiers, when they went to basic training, it was pounded in them, you're fighting for country, for country, for country. And then they'd get interviewed, and they'd go home before they went over to whatever tours they had, and they'd go, what are you doing? And, well, I'm fighting for my country. But when they go to war, actual war, they come back. They come back, and they go, I was fighting for the one on the right and one on the left. Amen? And that's what God is asking us to do. We're praying for his kingdom, but we're warring for the one on the right and the left. Amen? God's asked us to go back to basics. And how he said it was, I want you to just imagine that you could take everything you've learned to this day and go back to being a 14-year-old. Wouldn't you be great? To have all that wisdom, all that understanding, all that theology, all those word forms shaping things in your life, your denomination, all of that, you could take that back with you. But if you got to start over at 14 again and go back to basics, you would see the truth because you're mature. You're ready to see it. Amen? That's what he's asking us to do in 2015, is to link arms, go back to basics, so that when we are subject to something that's going on, we can give the defense of the gospel, comes right out of you. Because of the wisdom that you have now, God said, if you go back to basics, he said, you used to drink milk, then you went to meat, then you got lazy. That's a wake-up call, isn't it? He wants us to stir up our most inner faith. Stir up our most inner faith, because I'll tell you what, we are being led today in many, many countries by people that don't know the Spirit of God. We're being led by their own desires. Some of our people that are controlling factors around the world, they didn't have anybody to tell them about Jesus. I'm going to mention my president of the United States. I don't think that he is a bad man. You won't get me to say that out of my mouth. What I'm going to tell you was that he had such absolute mixture in his raising. Different beliefs, a grandma, a mother, a couple of fathers. He didn't know who he was. And that man established his own faith and his own standard. And he is trying to walk the Spirit. But what spirit is it he's walking in? And that's why God says, pray for your leaders. It's our responsibility. Amen? It's our responsibility to pray for our leaders. God told me before he became president, the first term, he said, the one that I've chosen, I'm going to use him to change the face of my people back toward me, to turn their faces back toward me. It's happening. It's happening. Just like he said, 2015, we're going into a season and a time that people are taking sides. You know, I had one lady that shared something that happened to a library over in South Carolina. She wasn't the stirrer of it. She didn't stir it. A mandate came down from above and said, no Christmas decorations. No Christian decorations in the library. You know what? Her faith is in her. She doesn't have to have Christmas decorations to make her faith strong. Amen. So when they had to be taken down and people started finding out that they had been taken down and they called and interviewed her, her attitude was, well, it doesn't matter to me if they take them out. My faith is here. Amen? Amen? And that's how she stood. And people got madder and madder. Not at her. They got mad at the mandate that came down, and the people that were involved. The mayor got involved. Leaders got involved. And the next thing you know, it's on the news, and somebody comes and interviews her. She makes her stand. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. My faith is here. You're not going to shake it. Her testimony, I mean, I'm not giving it perfectly or accurately, but I want to tell you, she didn't want to take no credit. She just said the truth. And guess what? Their leadership was back in there setting up the Christmas decorations. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Make a stand and stand with your partners. Amen? Let this be the year of change. Believe it. Be a part of it. Amen? Don't just put the covers over your head and think the storm's going to pass over. It's not. If we don't make a stand, it's going to get worse and worse. Amen? It's like there's a pot of stew cooking and it's on full blast and it's cooking and cooking and cooking and you know it's going to start burning. You've got to do something. We have a responsibility to do something. And we have the authority to do it, to turn it down. We have the authority and the power of prayer. Amen? Don't despise small beginnings either. Amen? Praise God. I love this picture over here because we used it a couple of seasons ago. when we did a conference in Augusta. And I have this picture, it's actually bigger than this, that's in my church, hanging in my church, because it's us. Look at us. Harness the horses, mount the steeds, take your positions with your helmets, polish your spears, put your armor on. That's Jeremiah 46:4. But let me tell you, we're instant in season, out of season. We may have had a little incident back there. Everybody was involved. I was up here, and I saw it, and the Lord said, go take care of that now. I had a book in my hand, and I just turned around when he said it, and I went, darn it. And went back. And why did I have to go back? Were the ones doing it, doing a good job? Yes, they were doing a good job. But what God didn't appreciate is that it was a manifestation that the enemy wanted. Got his way. And what God wanted was that out of the room. He said, get it out of the room. Get her stable, get her out of the room. Amen? It's not the lady. That's not the problem. But the enemy took advantage of a weakness in her. She was hurt, and he took advantage of it. He was on assignment. He hovered and he waited until he found something he could sit on. Amen? Sometimes you've been that victim in situations. And what happens? A manifestation. And when that manifestation comes out, you can't take it back. You can't take it back. And if you have a good friend on the right or left side of you, you know, it's like in my husband and I's marriage. When I could see Henry was going to have a problem with the kids, I never allowed him to manifest with them. I protected my husband. And when I'd see it escalating and raising those, you know, two daughters, and I'll tell you what, they could be pretty ornery, and they knew how to push his buttons. And I mean, I'd see it rising up in him, and I'd see him come across the room, and I'd go, phew. I'll go, Henry, let's go up the bedroom and talk right now. Nancy, you don't know how angry you are. And we'd go up in the bedroom, we'd talk, we'd pray. He'd come back out, he'd be calmed down. He never beat the kids. But I'll tell you what, if words could kill, he knew what to say. He knew what to say. And I came from a home with those kind of words, so I knew he was not going to say those over my daughters. He'd come in from work. And he'd have a bad day at work. Come on, guys, you know what I'm talking about. Mr. Puckerlip. He'd come in, and the kids would go, uh-oh, Dad's got the pucker look. I go, I'll take care of it. Henry is so sweet, because I'll just go, Henry, is there a problem? No, there's not a problem. Leave me alone. Okay. But he's still Mr. Puckerlips. Pretty soon I'll come back in and I'll go, I don't know what's going on, but either you need to go take a walk or go up to the bedroom because the kids are not doing anything and you're snapping them. I mean, I'm the one that should be doing this. I'm the one that was home all day with them. I should be, man, pucker lips, pucker ears, pucker whatever. But I'm still in this job of protecting my husband, my children as well. You know, they deserved a good whopping once in a while. But I wouldn't let it happen. I did. I mean, my friend Debbie has seen me do it. I'll just go get in Henry's face, and I'll go, Henry, let's go upstairs and talk. We need to be that way with our brothers and sisters on the right and left of us. When we see something escalating, we need to be right there, forthright, and start praying. Amen. The power of prayer breaks every yoke. Amen? When we come in the power of prayer and the power of agreement, it breaks the yoke of the enemy. Amen? We've got to be quick about getting the eye. When somebody's having a problem, get them to look you in the eye. If they can't look you in the eye, there's a demonic thing going on, and the demonic does not want them to look at you at all. And you just say, look me in the eye. Look me in the eye. You want to get delivered? Look me in the eye. I mean, we've seen deliverances over in India and China and countries that we've gone through where there would be manifestations. I mean, they'd be barfing and burping and you name it. It's like, I have had enough of this stuff. You know, if that's all the devil has, it is that little bitty gun. I'm not afraid of him. I just go, come on, look me in the eye. That's how that little Chinese woman got delivered over there in Tibet. Is she looked me in the eye, and here she had like four different personalities that were manifesting. God delivered her like that. She is the reason why I was invited into mainland China. Because of her delivery, she went back to the man she was involved with, was one of the 20 main leaders of mainland China, because she got delivered and healed. He married her, and then they paid it forward and made sure I was the one that spoke at that conference. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
That's the rest of the story. And they sent a man from Australia, a prophet from Australia, to come and tell me. He was friends with in Beijing. And he says, you've got to tell Nancy why she was chosen. Tell her. Just say, do you remember a woman's name? Snow. And the minute he said that, I knew. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. She was delivered. Amen? And it was in the power of agreement that she got delivered. She came in agreement with me to sing that song, Jesus Loves Me. There was the power of agreement, and she sang it, and God delivered her right there. You know, God delivers us in the most unusual ways. He pulled that big old tank gun out. I mean, somebody in here got delivered of the fear of praying. The power of prayer is bigger than those guns. It's like, oh man, it's like a dome, one of those things that fly around. Drone. I mean, that, we got it all together here. Power of prayer. You don't have to live in their town, but you're like that drone when you start praying, and it's like going over their house and boom. And the next thing you know, they're up praying. I don't know what's wrong with me, man. I feel just four corners coming in at me. Well, the angels are there. Amen? And if you've never seen angels before, guess what? You're going to get to see angels. When you start praying with that kind of power, angels are going to be around, because they're moving and shifting what you're praying about. Amen? I've never asked to see an angel. I don't worship angels, but they've been in this room. They've been in this room tonight. They've been in this room all Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. They're here. Amen? They're here. They're working. Praise the Lord. Oh, she put it up there. That's what we are when we ride together. One force for the kingdom of God. Amen? I'm praying for the people on the right and on the left. There is no, what do you call it? Lone wolves, or what do they call them?
Mavericks.
No mavericks, no lone wolves. There's no
long
rangers. I know there's a word there, that's a good one. Do you know when you go out and do prayer ministry and you get in the car and go out by yourself, you know that's not correct? It's in two or three. I know people go, oh, I've been praying this and going here and doing this and doing this and doing this. Well, maybe God will bless you in that, but I'm telling you, it's not his order. Can I show you why? Go with me, because we're just going to read some scriptures that you know very well real quickly. Chapter 18. Verses 18, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For when two or three gather together in my name, I am with them. Now, it sounds like he's addressed two different issues, doesn't it? Let's listen to it again. I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then I'm in Matthew 18, starting with verse 18. But do you see, then he says, again, I tell you the truth. Whatever you bound, wait a minute, let me go back again. 18 says, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, that's the word, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you in my Father in heaven. For there, where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. Let's look at that again. Is he given two different directives, or is that one directive together? Let me take you to another scripture. Let's go to Matthew 16. This is when Jesus is talking to Peter, and he's talking to the disciples that are there, and he's asking, they're actually in Caesarea Philippi. And he asks them, you know, he says, he says, when they came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, some others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, what do you say I am? And Simon Peter answers and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replies, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And he was not talking about Peter, the rock. He was talking about the rock he was standing on, because it was a rock. It was a whole position at the base of a mountain with a cave honed out with water in it, and out of that mountain was a stream that came out of it, a very small stream, which was the beginning of the waters of the Jordan. Okay? And they were standing at this place, and you can still see it today, the icons that were on carved in the rocks from ancient days. But when Peter and James and the disciples were there with Jesus, that was the first place he took them after they were there at the Galilean Sea and he got them all together. He took them, that was the first place he took them, and the reason he took them there was because he was taken to a place where witchcraft was going on. The demonic was being worshipped. And the god was called the god of Pan. And the god of Pan, what the reports were, that he was, he went around and he just picked up animals and people and he'd just take them and they'd never see him again. This is up in the regions of the, I think it's the Golden Heights and beyond. That's where he roamed. But so that he wouldn't come out and do that, what the people would do is they would pick out a sacrifice, a woman, a man, take them up there and throw them in that cave. And if the water didn't come out blood red out of the water for the Jordan, that spring that was coming out, then they went and found somebody else because the god Pan wasn't happy because there was no blood. He didn't accept the sacrifice. This is the truth. That's the rock that the first church in Israel was built, was Caesarea Philippi. I don't know if you knew that, but it was. He said, on this rock will be my first church. Amen? When you go there, your eyes will be illuminated. It took me 3 times to realize what God was trying to tell me. He took me back there 3 times because I had that word in me. I had that taught to me, and I believed it, what I was coming, you know, across at the pulpit. And then you go and stand there, and you go, oh, my gosh, I know what happened here. And it ended. And by the way, the word panic is derived from the god Pan. The word we use here in America, panic, is derived from the god Pan. Isn't that interesting? So, here we are. That was the reason I was sharing that, but just to give you some background. So here we go. Simon Peter answers, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replies, you are Simon, son of Jonah. And this is This was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And do you want to know something? There were no more human sacrifices after that point. History says it ended. That was the end of the God Pan. Then he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned the disciples not to tell anyone he was the Christ. And then over in a couple of verses or chapters, he sends out another group, and he gives them the keys to the kingdom of heaven and tells them to bind and loose. And it's a whole array of I think, 70 or 8 of them that they sent out. Did you know that? And he said the same thing. I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven to bind and loose. So now let's go back to Matthew 18. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by the Father in heaven. For there are two or three, for when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with you. There's power. God has set it up right from the beginning in the book of Matthew. He set it up how to pray and what you have to pray with somebody that is in agreement with you. That power of prayer is not going anywhere. If you pray with somebody that doesn't have the faith, there's a place of faith in the power of agreement. Do you know that there's a power of agreement in the word amen? It's finished. When we say amen, basically we're saying I agree. You'll be accountable for it. The same as you'll be accountable if you're in a room and you're talking about somebody and somebody's saying, well, I'm going to do this and this and this, and you don't say a word. By you not saying a word, you're in agreement. You're in agreement. Because you were there, and you probably did in your heart agree, but you didn't say anything. You didn't like that person. They deserved it. You know what I'm saying? The power of agreement. One of my friends, I mean, she'll listen to somebody's negative talk, and it'll go on and on and on and on, and it's lies, and the person is lying to themselves, the person is offended, and carrying that lie, she'll come back to me, and she'll tell me she's offended, and I said, and what did you say? It wasn't worth telling her different. You couldn't convince her otherwise. You couldn't convince her otherwise. She believed it, she had a lot of time to think about it, to build up her case. You know, the Bible says when you have an offense with somebody, get it to court right away or get it taken care of right away. Lest if they have time to go to court, supposedly, they'll bring up a big case against you and it's not even part of the problem. And I have friends that do that. There'll be an offense, and by the time I get in the picture of it, the offense was this little thing, but then I hear hours of why that little thing bothered them and they were justified in what they did. And it's like, oh. It sort of wears me out. It sort of does. Unfortunately, we have wounds in our lives that are unresolved. And so in those wounds that are in our lives that are unresolved, we have buttons. And when somebody comes along and it reminds you of that button, that's right where you go. And you're an innocent victim. You don't know you've pushed that button. And they're manifesting and reacting. That's why we have to be really careful. The people we work with, and they manifest, and you're ready to just, and the Lord is saying, back up. You don't know what happened. You don't know what happened in their life. You don't know what button you represent in their life. This is an opportunity to pray. Get somebody and pray in agreement. You know, my friend over here, Sarah, I think it's been, oh gosh, I don't know, I want to say maybe 2007, maybe 2006, I'm not sure. But we started praying together while she was on her way to work in the morning. I would be up, and I would call her, or she would call me, and we would pray. And we'd pray over the circumstances that were going on in both agendas, my agenda, her agendas. We would pray. I mean, along the way, there was a scripture or something to encourage, to build up. Amen? She's doing that with other people now. Amen? Encouraging them, blessing them. Remember I told you the story about the woman that put her hands on the wall of the bathroom to pray? That the person that she was working for, that he would change or be removed? She was the one. I know she kind of felt ridiculous. Okay, Nancy said, go put your hands on the wall and pray. And she did. And God, we were in agreement, you guys. And it's powerful. And you want, if you're in agreement in the negative, it's powerful. We've got different religions that pray five times a day in agreement against us. No wonder America's having some problems. We have another religion that's over there in Asia that they pray against us. You know what they pray? They pray that homosexuality will be released in America to a level that we can't bear. Alcoholism, drugs, gambling. They went to the Ohio River and came over here and prayed in the Ohio River and released water prayers. And their agenda was to release those things. That's what they do. I was warned about it when I went to Tibet. They'll follow you back to Alaska and they'll release those curses. They did. They went to Ketchikan. Ketchikan ran them out. They went to Anchorage, and they got invited by our museum or arts and crafts or whatever. They invited them, gave them permission to do the stuff they did. They were going to go down to the water. They were going to release those there's a name for it. I can't remember it. Water spirits. And my husband's down on the peninsula. He got a team of people together. He started praying. I mean, he's done a lot of research on it. He said they just started praying. He couldn't believe that Alaska would let something like that in and encourage it. But I'll tell you what happened. They didn't get in. The weather was bad. We went into some bad weather, and they didn't get in. They didn't get to do it. You know, Henry thought it was great, and it was a good witness to our church that prayers availeth much. But then the next year, they came back, and they didn't really announce what they were doing until the very end. There wasn't an alert, and they got in there, and they got to do it the next year. They came in secret. Prayer availeth much, but God said the power of prayer is coming into agreement. We came into agreement with Evelyn. Who knows if we didn't know how to pray properly, what would have happened with her? Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise God. Amen. And I don't know who canceled the ambulance. Did it ever come? There was only 40 people out there on the sidewalk waiting for the ambulance. Praise God. I didn't want her to have a bill. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me go through some things that the Lord showed me that I wanted you to think about. You know, the way that we think about prayer, we kind of put it in a box. And the Lord says, I just want you to write some things down for him. Here we go. Praying in agreement for healing. That's important to do. In fact, praying for healing should be the most immediate thing you do, is find somebody that comes in agreement with you, that believes, does not have any doubt, that you can be healed by the power of prayer. Amen? You find a power partner like that, I'm going to tell you what, that is worth its weight in gold. Amen? Praying in the power of prayer for faith. You can pray in the power of prayer for people that don't have faith, that God will turn them around. Guess what? I proved to you last night when I shared some of those scriptures that those are powerful. God said, wield them, trust me, that which is bound on and heaven will be bound on earth. That which is loosed in heaven will be loosed on earth. Amen? And expect it. God says our problem is when we pray, do we expect it? When those prayers come out, are we looking for an answer? Are we already convinced when we pray that it's not going to come back void? That's what God is requiring of us in this hour. Amen? So he wants us to do a prayer of agreement for faith. How about an agreement for freedom? Are you bound? Pray a prayer of agreement. Amen? God says coming in agreement for Christ's source and perfection. Do you know what that means? God wants you to walk in his source of perfection. You're not going to be perfect, but his perfection in you will be perfect. Amen? You want to walk in favor? Grab somebody and pray that God will bless you to walk in his favor. That's what we've been doing all weekend. Amen? Agreeing that the Lord is our source. You know, a lot of people, the Lord is not our source. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people, it's God's down about three or four. You know, it was like Evelyn, what I shared about Evelyn when she had that heart problem and she went, you know, it's a two-hour drive up to Fairbanks from Delta. She gets in there, and I mean, it's really bad. She's got a damage, half her heart's damaged, right? And then when they're wheeling her out after she's been in the hospital, I don't know how long she was in the hospital, they're wheeling her out, and the nurse goes to get her prescription. Her husband goes to get the vehicle. And she hears the Lord say, Evelyn, why is it that whenever you have a problem, you don't call me? She says, I do. No, you call your friend, you call your doctor, you call your husband. You don't call me. Well, I thought that's what I was doing. I won't do that anymore. So the next time she had a problem with her heart, something was going on. Lewis, her husband, when she was manifesting physically, he goes to the phone to call the ambulance, and he did call the ambulance. She goes, no, we're going to pray. I'm going to talk to God first. I mean, she's literal. And we're going to talk to God first. And he goes, no, you go pray. I'm calling God. I mean, I'm calling, that was a whoa. I'm calling the ambulance. Don't you dare tell him I said that. And here comes the ambulance. She's still fighting them. I don't need to go. I'm okay. I'm fine. I prayed, and they just strapped her in. And she was just mumbling all the way into Fairbanks. You know, I don't need to go. This is unnecessary. They got her in there, and she said that they got her in the back room, and that she was there all afternoon. And then here comes the doctor. He says, I need to show you something. And he has two x-rays, and he slaps one up, and he says, look at this. This was your x-rays. I don't know if it was a month earlier or 2 months earlier. I don't remember how far it was. He says, look at this. What do you see? Evelyn says, a damaged heart. He says, that's right. He says, look at this one. It's healed. He said, what do you see? What do you see? It's healed. Amen? And it's not ending there for her. Because, I mean, doctors have told her different things that are wrong with her. But she's finding through prayer and getting directed to the right people, they're finding out those aren't the problems. And there are other problems that are very fixable. Amen? Because of the power of prayer. You know, the enemy doesn't like us. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but he doesn't like you. He doesn't like you so much that he, you know, he just walks around. You know, and he knows that he can't do it on his own, so he's got 50 minions. Yes, Pastor, get on him. Okay. And you're going, in Jesus' name. Okay, give me 50 more. They're losers. Come on. And in comes the bigger dudes, you know. What's the matter? Get them. Okay. And they're going, Jesus! Oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. I mean, they split their pants. I can't believe I said that, but it worked. Seriously. Seriously. That's what's going on. I make fun of it. He's mad at me now. I really hate you now, Nancy. I don't care. I'm the king's kid. What do I have to lose? What do I have to lose? If my faith is in him to live or die, you know what it is? To live is, what is it?
Christ.
To live is Christ, to die is to gain. Amen? Do you believe that? Amen. He says agreement in forgiveness. If you're going around and you still are dealing with old stuff that you just can't forgive, so you get buttons pushed and it's right there and it's the problem, that's where you pull that person in, and maybe the one with the offense, you know, that caused the offense or whatever, well-meaning or not, and they come into agreement of prayer and break it off.
Yes.
Amen? And if it isn't broke off, one of them wasn't in agreement. They still want to hold on to it. Amen? When we pray together and we want to pray for confidence, it comes. I've seen transformations just at this conference. I've seen the eyes change. Debbie Smalley that came up here, I mean, seriously, the transformation was like night and day. She is so precious. She is so precious. The enemy wanted to take her out. He was doing everything he could. And I mean, once you get in a state where you're so weak, it's really hard to pull yourself up. That's why you need two. The Bible talks about how important two is better than one. Amen? But agreeing produces confidence. And when you get with somebody that is broken and you know, it's not like, oh, you're going to be okay.
Uh-huh.
That's not how you do it. You go, no, look me in the eye. Are you going to listen to what I say? Are you going to believe what I say? Or am I just blowing air here? Because I'm not going to lie to you. They may have lied to you. That's their problem. That's not your problem unless you want to embrace that lie.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Let's come in an agreement. You're a beautiful woman. You're a smart woman, intelligent woman. The anointing is on you, very powerful. Don't listen to the lies. Rise up. I mean, exactly, I'm going to say to you that you're the key for the healing of your family. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? You are. And that's a hard thing to wrap your mind around, is you're going to try to figure out, what am I going to do? Well, God gave you the greatest gift. Did you see that cannon thing he had up here? That's yours. Amen? That's yours. You just need the strength to pick it up. When you're agreeing with friends, consistency, maturity comes into place. Amen? David and Jonathan became one. I mean, they were one in friendship, and they come in agreement of righteousness. Amen? They came in agreement for promises if one dies and the other's still alive, what they would do to help each other. And David kept his promise. Amen? Because they came in agreement. Do you know that it would have been awful if David hadn't followed through? Huh? Yes. David came through, didn't he? Because he made a promise. He came into a covenant agreement. Amen? Agreement brings you into honesty. Because you cannot go into prayer with dishonesty.
Come on.
Amen? You're going to be lined up, and you'll know before you pray if you're being honest, if you're being operating integrity. Amen? Thankfulness. Coming in agreement for thankfulness. Can you imagine if two of you come together in agreement just for this conference, the power in the agreement of what God did here? Amen? Amen? No wonder the enemy is upset. We can come in agreement. We can come in agreement for the breath of God. What did I ask you guys to do when you came up here to get God's impartation? God told me, he said, there's a couple of things. I'll tell you a couple little secrets. One of them is when you come up and you grab my hands and you're breaking my fingers, it's going to be real hard for you to receive. No, it's not that. I mean, I won't even say anything. But, I mean, as far as the pain. But it's relax. Just relax. I mean, it's like, lock the knees. And then they get the anointing, they go, just breathe. Darn, you're going to hyperventilate. Praise God. Listen, I know when I take your hands, I know what you're going to do. The minute I take your hands, I can tell. I mean, I just start walking toward you, and you start wavering. I go, oh, man, this will be easy. I love it, man. I love it because it's like that God's spirit just goes, whoo, like that through me. That feels so good. That feels so good. But then when I go and you go,
I don't want any more.
I'm like, my eyes kind of cross, and it's like, okay, what do we do with this? You know, I have to check them out, see if it's going to hurt their feelings if I say, you didn't take it all, because later you'll come back to me, why didn't I take it all? What did I do? What did I do wrong? And it's like, oh, the body has to mature. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We're talking about the Holy Spirit wanting to rest on you. He's looking for a place to rest. I didn't come up with any of these ideas. This is his ministry. It's a Holy Spirit encounter. So if it's a Holy Spirit encounter, you're going to have an encounter with him. Amen? If you want it, it's his show. He developed it. He's never let me change it. You know, I'm over there studying, and I would like for maybe Sarah to come over and do it. And God says, no, it's not time yet. You come together and pray, and I'll tell you what, the zeal that comes within you in the power of agreement stimulates the people around you. Amen? Have you been stimulated this week?
Yes.
I have been stimulated.
Yes.
My spirit man has been stimulated.
Yes.
I'm excited. I've ate with you. I've cried with you. I've been on the floor with you. Amen? I've been stimulated,
yeah.
And I'm so blessed what God's doing. We're almost finished here. We're almost finished. Everybody have their keys? You're kingdom kids. You've learned what sonship is. You're going to learn more. It's going to be your responsibility to finish the sentences God has put in my mouth. I only give you little snippets. Any word, when you go through your notes and you see a word, highlight it. Highlight it. And then when you get your devotional time, look that word up and see the deeper meaning for you. Amen?
Okay.
We shared the numbers. There's no question of what God's doing this year. New beginnings. 8. New beginnings. We're going to see more clearly. Amen? 8. Praise God. But that 8 is new beginnings, and then he says it's hope. It's hope. This year is about hope. Hold on. Don't let go. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing less. Nothing greater. Jesus Christ. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And guess what? The best is yet to come.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Amen? I do too. The best is yet to come. It's been happening all this whole weekend. Just getting better and better and better. Amen? He also talked about the number 5775 equals 24. We are his priesthood. You are his Christian seals. Your Christian creed is Romans chapter 12. Amen? Romans chapter 12, and you listen to the war cry in these workshops, and they're transforming. Every one of them was transforming. And you can go back and get online. It's free. And listen to those over and over, and the ones you missed, you can go back and listen to them. Take notes if there's a word that's said. As you're reading it, it's God's highlighting it, saying, highlight it, look it up. And there's no excuse. You can get online and just put the word on there. What's this mean? There it is. Probably more than you want. Amen? Praise God. I I'm going to close here with the most profound word for this year, and that's covenant. Amen. And it's agreement. Have you covenanted with anyone this weekend? Mm-hmm. Have you come in agreement with anyone? Have you made a vow this weekend to somebody? Have you said, you know what, I like you, can we exchange phone numbers? Do you have an email address? Have you met somebody here that you want to know better, that you just liked them? Do you see what I'm talking about? Covenant. This whole night coming to a close is about, are we going to be able to take all the distractions? Were there some distractions tonight? There was, wasn't there? A lot of them, wasn't there? And God said, okay, soldiers, keep your eyes forward. Keep your eyes on me, the lifter of your faith. Psalms 27:5. Let me lift your eyes up above your enemies. Amen? Amen? Look around the room. Is there somebody here that you just enjoyed being around them? There's a lot of thems for me. I encourage you to go get their phone number, get their address. Ask them if you can be praying for them. Find out if there's a time maybe you can even get on the phone and pray together and come into a prayer of agreement for something that might be going on. Somebody that you trust here. Let's form an alliance. Amen? Different parties coming together, forming an alliance. And we're forming an alliance because look at all the differences we have in this room. But Jesus is our common denominator. Yes. Amen? Amen? I am a Christian SEAL. I am going through 2015 with a war cry. My war cry is redemptive rest. My war cry is resting in Him is going to make me so strong, so mighty. Amen? I'm not going to be afraid of my shadow anymore. Amen? I'm not going to be afraid to sleep with my light off. I'm not going to be afraid to be alone anymore. My addictions are going to change to Jesus. I love Jesus, but now I want to be addicted to Him. Amen? Yes, that is righteousness. Amen? Now, I am not afraid of the dark. I am not afraid to be alone. But there are some in this room. They are. Am I pushing buttons? Yes. When I come down here, do you know how many people approach me and they want me to pray for them for a husband or a wife? You know how many people come to me and they're dissatisfied with their husband or their wife? Do you know how many people come to me complaining about their children, their prodigals? These are the areas that you need to partner with a prayer warrior that will get you out of your stinking thinking and get you into covenant prayer, agreement in the power of prayer to make a difference. That's our basics. And what did I say? Salvation is number one prayer. The second number two prayer is the power of agreement in prayer. The power of agreement in prayer. I think it's an important thing to remember in 2015, bathe it in prayer before you move. Bathe it in prayer before you buy a car. Bathe it in prayer before you call that person you're going to have for dinner. Bathe it in prayer. You follow what I'm saying? Bathe it in prayer. And I would encourage you, if you are married, I'm just encouraging you to try through prayer, and a good prayer to pray, to put your spouse or friend or anybody in a place that you can pray for them and put their name in it, is Colossians, I think, 9 through 14. Colossians 9 through 14. Put your spouse, put your child, put whatever. Find out how you can personally pray. Call somebody up and say, will you partner in prayer for me while I pray this? Another awesome prayer is to pray Isaiah 61. Get somebody, come in agreement, pray over them, Isaiah 61. That was what was prayed over me. Amen? That's my scripture, Isaiah 61, the whole chapter. Amen? You've been given a key? It is the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You got your covenant. You know you're part of the priesthood. You know you have hope. And the greater hope is this: God will contend against those that contend against you, so don't worry about getting in that mess. Amen? You have new beginnings. New beginnings means don't look at yesterday. It's not, you can't change it. It's only what you do today that's going to change anything. Amen? How are you going to act today? What are you going to accept today? Where are you going to go today? Amen? This banner here, you have to know when we're choosing banners, how much prayer goes into this. How much I'm flashing back and forth to the girls, telling them what I see and what they are doing to try to bring it on page. But this is the basics. Go back to studying the Word. After you study the Word, pray. After you pray, ask God to send you out to minister. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Amen? Isn't that awesome? I think it's awesome. That was direct from God. Amen? I just want to thank you all for coming. You bless me. It's been an awesome time.